Hallelujah. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 46? Psalm 46. Hallelujah. I want to speak today a message called The Antidote to Fear. The Antidote to Fear. Psalm 46. Now, there is just some scripture that we do well to memorize. Well, we would do well, we don't even have to be, you know, have very discriminating taste. We could go to every book of the Bible and every chapter and find something. But Psalm 46 is one of those kind of scriptures. First of all, to memorize even just a part of us, we can go a long way on what is contained in Psalm 46. And here's what it says, starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is a picture of the church triumphant. This is a picture of the overcoming faith of a believer. God is our refuge, and God is our strength. A very, very present help in trouble. He is our place of safety and security. And this all becomes so real to us when it's not just believed, but experienced. Outwardly, Psalm 46 is probably a picture of the worst case scenario. Psalm 46 could be a picture of what happens when the very worst happens. But it says, therefore will not we fear. In painting the picture of when and what the very worst could look like, God is saying that my people, I'm going to give them a testimony that they shall not be overcome by fear. In fact, what will distinguish them the closer it comes to the ends of the age is my church, my beloved. That spirit of fear will be bound, and it will not be the overcoming emotion. Though the earth will be shaken, though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar, though the mountains shake, my people will not fear. Hallelujah. God is going to get glory. Because he's going to visit his people, we will know he is our refuge. He is our place of safety and security. And we will know it to the extent, not just an inward knowledge, but we'll be able to have that portrayed through our very lives. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And beloved, this says to me, in the darkest of times, that we are going to be helped to the point of joy. Not only will fear be demolished, but there's a promise of God that we will be helped to the point of joy, and it will be totally supernatural. This can look like the end of the age scenario. This can look like, even if the end of the world as we know it came upon us, God is saying that no matter what happens around us, his promise to his church is that we will not fear. And it says that there is a river and it makes glad the city of God. And you know, many cities, many cities of the world have rivers running through them. Many, that's what made them actually a point to grow as a city, because a river flowed through it. But you know, beloved, there is no natural river that flows through the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has no natural river. But God declares that there is a river in the dwelling place of God. There is a river, we who are the inhabitants of spiritual Jerusalem. And the Lord is saying that a supernatural river is in our midst, and it makes us glad. And that this water will continually spring up and flow and give us life. And therefore, we will not fear. And no matter what the day brings, there is a promise to his church. We will not be dominated by fear. In fact, this scripture is prophetic. And he says to his church, a ruling fear, a dominating fear is not in our future. That there is a river, and there is those that choose to make the Lord our refuge. He will become our strength. We will know him as a very present help in trouble, and it will break the bonds of fear. Now, it's great to say fear is not in our future, but what about when it is today? Recently, Pastor Carter and I, we just came back from Colorado, a wonderful pastor's conference. But at the end of that conference, four of us went in a car, and we were going to go up to the mountain, Pikes Peak. It's about 14,000 feet in the air. We were going to drive up the mountain to the mountaintop. And when we got in the car, it seemed like a good idea. But as that car began to climb up that mountain, I, who was sitting in the back seat, I think it's scarier from the back seat. At the front seat, you're the driver. You feel like a little bit of control. If you're next to the driver, you can feel like you can grab the wheel. I don't know. In the back seat, you feel totally helpless. And when that car started to move up the mountain, and it started to almost go vertical, because we had to travel 19 miles, almost straight up, to get to the top of that mountain. It was going to take 55 minutes to go 19 miles. Because when you make the turns, they're not just 90, they're like a 120-degree turn. And when you start going up, all of a sudden the trees part at certain areas, and you realize there's no guardrail here. You realize, and I'm not exaggerating, from me to the right here, this piece of wood there is the end of the, like, we were on the outside. The people who go up, they go the outside of the mountain. The people coming down the mountain, they go the inside. And I couldn't bring myself to look. Because if I did even start to look over there, like, this panic grew up in me. I didn't realize the depth of fear in me. I didn't realize I was that afraid of heights. And I got so panicked, I just about lost it. And I'm not kidding. I would start to look out there, and I would like be sick, and my stomach would flip, and I would start telling the driver, don't look, I was trying to direct from the back seat. I grabbed Bettina's hand, and I was shaking, and it was like I couldn't look down. It was terrible. It was terrible. And as we began to climb, and I'm looking out the back seat, it's like the road was going straight up and then over the edge, because I couldn't see the turn in the road. It was terrible, 19 miles straight up. And finally, knowing that I was going to panic to the point I wanted to jump out of the car, but... I I'm telling you the truth. I was just about losing it on the floor of the back seat when finally I decided I wouldn't look, and I would turn to the side of the mountains. And as we were going straight up, I saw those trees, beautiful trees, and I started singing to myself. I was singing, "I like trees." I did. Didn't I? I made a song up. I like trees. And I couldn't look the other way. And then we climbed so high, we passed the tree line. I started singing, I like rocks. Finally, we got so high, we burst through the clouds equal to the sun, and I was singing, I like snow. We made it to the top. Got out of the car. And there was no view like I've ever seen in my whole life. No other view. You can't get that view except you be at the top of that mountain. And it was amazing. And you just look around in any direction, and it was like something I had never seen before. 14,000 feet in the air looking down through the clouds and at Colorado Springs. The interesting thing was when we finally got in the car to make the descent. Now, the descent is another whole experience altogether. The descent is where you stop at a checkpoint and they take the temperature on your brake, your tires. Because if it's over 300 degrees, you got to rest for a while. You don't want your brakes to fail on the way down. But there is something odd enough that happened on the descent going down. I was absolutely filled with joy. I was laughing. I was incredible. I think, you know, the adrenaline needs a release somehow. But the joy, it was like all of a sudden I was looking at the same view that was there on the way up, but that I could not look at, that I could not experience, that I couldn't bring myself to look at, is still the same peril. It was still the same view, but it all looked so different on the way down. I found out there were songs in me I didn't even know existed. And if you had said to me that I could experience that level of panic, that level of fear, a week ago, I would have told you, well, you know, I have a list of faults, but this, I was a bit of a daredevil, but I, not at night, not at 14,000 feet or on the way up, I found out that I had a paralyzing fear of heights when it's just 6 feet over there. And, you know, it was so amazing to have that journey of going up and going down. And I thought it was such a parallel of our spiritual walk that, you know, we say, I'm yours, Lord, everything I am, everything I've got, I'm yours. And he says, good, I want it. And so it's like we hop into this journey he has planned for us and we're not in control and he is the driver. And somewhere along the way, this is not what I had planned. And we don't understand the depths of fear that is in us. We don't understand that he is going to take us to that place that we want him to take. And fear is such a human emotion. And fear is so much of a lot of times what keeps us from experiencing the joy of the Lord. It can hinder, it limits our view of God. And yet, in his love for us, he still commits to the journey. He's going to take us to a place that we kind of break through bondage and bring us to a place where we have a completely different view and where joy comes. And beloved, I firmly believe when I got down off that mountain, there was another, I had grown through the song of I Love Trees. And I was able to sing, God, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. And I want to suggest to you that I think mercy is the antidote to fear. I say mercy because one of the definitions of mercy is loving kindness and loving favor. That is one of the definitions of mercy. And we can think of a worst case scenario. and where our fears could absolutely overtake us. And our fears could present us in such a way that we don't even know it's there. And yet all that God has planned for us and all that God how he wants to reveal himself, where he wants to take us, the songs he wants to produce in us, and the joy that he wants to give us, that so many times these fears, he can take us through them. And we are kept from jumping off at a very dangerous point because of mercy. And beloved, don't let the devil talk you out of your mercy, out of the mercy of God. Don't let the devil talk you out of your own mercy. The Lord chooses to be merciful to his people. And mercy is the antidote to fear, because I found that in my life, when I would keep appealing to the mercy of God, when I kept saying, Lord, I'm coming to you not because I deserve this. I'm not coming to you because, Lord, I'm asking you to hear me, or I'm asking you to do something because, Lord, I just do because I'm so needy. I just do it because there is no other prayer that will suit except help me, Lord. There is no other thing except, Lord, I need your mercy to take the next step. I can bring myself in the natural to take this step and ask for mercy. But if I take a next one, it's going to be all supernatural. And only your mercy will grant me that and bring me through that place of fear. And I don't deserve mercy. You don't deserve the mercy, the loving favor, and the loving kindness of God. But we did not set the conditions on this relationship. Calvary did. Calvary set the conditions on this relationship. And the Lord says, you are mine. When you came to me, when you said, Lord, I forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. And Lord, I want to lead a life now that's pleasing to you. And what you had in mind when you created me, when you said that I was made in your image, and all that boggles me. That's mind-boggling to me, that I was made in the image of God. But Lord, whatever you want to restore to me, what the moth and the cankerworm has eaten, you want to restore what the devil has taken, what my own sin nature, Lord, do whatever you do. And beloved, we're going to have to cross boundaries of fear. That's a prayer that invites God to take us to a place where the boundaries of fear have to be broken, and we have to go past that. And I have found that when I remember that, Lord, you are my refuge and you are my strength, that is what gives me the courage to take the next step. And, you know, when I think of, Lord, I thank you that you are not limited by my flesh. I thank you that when you died on a cross, when you forgave me, accepted me, cleansed me, and gave me a hope and a future, I thank you that you didn't rescind that offer when on my part it seems to be an offering of failure, an offering of pain, an offering of suffering, of trial, whatever it is that seems to block me. I thank you, Lord, that you don't withdraw when I need you the most. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes for me to break through the fear barrier, a lot of times it's not just the external fears of what's going on, but it's the internal fear of, Lord, I'm afraid, and I'm afraid that I can't be trusted. I'm afraid that what you ask me to do, I won't do. I'm afraid, Lord, that you know, I know who I am. I sometimes get so afraid, I try to cover up who I am. And yet the mercy of God keeps calling out to me. He said, I know all about it. I know about the flesh nature. I know your weakness, your tiredness. I know all about it, but I don't rescind my offer to love you and love you to the end. And I want to take you to places that it's impossible for your flesh to bring you, and that only my life, my strength, my refuge can give you that place where I will restore you, and then the ability to take the next step, which will be by my spirit and supernatural. I am your refuge and I am your strength, and you will not fear, because you will find out, no matter what condition you find yourself in, I am with you and I am for you. Hallelujah. You know, I don't, the longer I walk with Christ, the more I realize it's like a bottomless sea, this mercy. It's like there is no height, there's no ceiling on this mercy that he offers me. And so many times I can lose track. I can be brought to a place where I just cower down in fear and unbelief. And then the Lord's mercy comes and he says, whose eyes, where are your eyes? Who are you looking at? Take your eyes off your sad, sweet self and put them on me. Put them on me. Put them on me. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am your Healer. I am the Ancient of Days. I am your Father. I am your Lover. I am the one who made you. I'm the one who died for you. I rose again on the third day. I broke the bonds of every bondage hell or the flesh could put on a human spirit. I have done that and I live in you. And I need mercy to remember that. I don't know why, you know, God is determined. He has this relentless love that won't give up on us, even when I've given up on him. Even when there's times I want to withdraw in fear. Even when there's times I feel like I'm too tired and I can't. Even when I get stubborn. Even when I big doesn't want to wells up in me. I remember, Lord, that to put my eyes on you and begin to sing of your mercies. And the scripture said, mercy endures forever. And I know mercy endures with our flesh. Mercy endures with our flesh. But our Lord is long-suffering and he is patient. And sometimes it's only mercy that can rouse us to remember what kind of salvation and what kind of Savior Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And I say that the antidote to fear is mercy and remembering his mercy for us. You know, I was thinking about the kings in the Old Testament, Saul and Solomon and David, and all our types of a believer. All are types who've been granted a privilege to rule and reign with the Lord. And when I think of how these three kings handled mercy, viewed mercy, I think there's much to learn. You know, King Saul, the very first king of Israel, he had no, you know, role model. He had nobody who had been king of Israel before. And he started out so well because he was chosen of God and he was small in his own sight. And mercy has to keep us with that truth in our heart, beloved. We need to remember that truth. We are chosen, but we need to stay small in our own sight. And the scripture says that the Holy Spirit changed him into another man. Just like what happens to us at salvation. We get the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ who lives. And by his blood and by his Spirit, we are changed into another person. We are given a new nature. We are given the righteousness of Christ. We are holy in the sight of God. Not that we earned or deserved it, but we were given this gift of holiness and the power to be able to choose Christ and the ability to glorify his name. We were given this at salvation. And the scripture says that the prophet Samuel loved Saul. There was much to love about this man. And he exhibited such promise. And physically, he was head and shoulders above everyone around him. And I think that was like a spiritual picture, too, of the greatness that was the seed of greatness that was given him. Not he himself, but the seed of the promise of greatness that all of us have in Christ at salvation. But in his time of trial, fear overtook him. In his time of trial, the fear of man tormented him. Fear, for some reason, sealed up his ears and closed his eyes to the mercy that was available to him. Maybe he felt like he had to go out and do this king thing and forgot who would be his strength, who would be his refuge when his enemies stood up, that if he waited on the Lord, the enemy promised to scatter his enemies. But fear kept him from accessing this understanding and the mercy that would be granted him if he would just would but follow the Lord. And pride kept him from admitting that he was stubborn. And pride kept him from seeing and recognizing his rebellion. And he would not obey, but he called his disobedience obedience. And he was led into delusion because of it. And he was given over to a bitter and an envious spirit. And in 1 Chronicles 17:13, let me read it to you. It says, the Lord tells David through the prophet Nathan, he said, I will not take my mercy away from him, meaning David, as I took it from him that was before thee. And what an indictment, beloved, that that king forsook his own mercy to the point where the Lord said, I took mercy away from him. I took it away from him. He didn't value it. He didn't want it, it seems. He would rather keep his own rebellion, his own stubbornness, his own pride, his own fear. He would rather cling to that than to look to mercy that was being offered him and all that it would access, all that it would allow him to be, all that it would take if he would bend his knee and say, Lord, your mercy is like a canopy over me. And I thank you, Lord, that the believer actually is the first partaker of mercy, that the mercy of God could be demonstrated in my life. I thank you, you didn't ask me to be king in my own strength. You didn't ask me to rule and reign, Lord, independent of you. And if I will bend my knee, mercy will rewrite my life. Mercy will form me. Mercy will cause me to keep looking up. Mercy will let you will break up the strongholds of stubbornness and rebellion, which is as witchcraft and idolatry. He didn't realize the depth of what was in him. Beloved, a lot of times we don't realize the depth of what is in us, and fear becomes the shield and the mask to hide it all. He forsook his own mercy. When we look at that other king, Solomon, again, a young man with such, started out with so much promise, such a picture of what it is when we come to salvation. And he was given much favor. And we know the story when he was big enough, when he was strong enough, when he was wise enough, when it all went so well, when he knew the loving favor and the loving kindness of God, when it came time to be able to confront things he didn't know was in him, when he began, again, an idolatry to his lust, an idolatry to his power, when he made idols of these things, the scripture says he squandered his mercy. His legacy, he left a divided kingdom. He left people confused in his wake. He left a son who made poor choices. He left a legacy of division. He left such a squandered mercy. His life knew such promise. And yet when he needed it because things had gone well, it's almost like he had used it for a covering. He had used it so he wouldn't. Maybe he was fearful to look. Maybe he was too proud to look. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he felt these other things had such a grip on him that he had to pretend. Maybe he became just a bad actor on the Christian stage because other people could look into his life and say, oh, it's going well with him. And he could not deal in the truth. But beloved, if we will let mercy fashion us, the Bible says that by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. If we will ask for the mercy of God, that it may shine the truth into our hearts, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear if we will understand the mercy of God for us. But we must understand it, and we must not forsake it, and we must not squander it. It is so incredible. And it's like, Lord, I thank you that you and I, we have this promise in the Word of God that an end time church will not be dominated by fear. In other words, we're not using fear to cover up that which troubles, that which is a stronghold, that which our stubbornness, our rebellion, our lust, whatever it is, us becoming hopeless in it or feeling like we are overwhelmed in it. No, the mercy of God is able to break up the deepest of depths. Because that's where we understand Jesus Christ is for us. That is where we bend our knee. That is where we call on his supernatural power. That is when the Lord of the hosts, the captain of the army, comes. That's where he defeats our enemy. That's where he who has never lost a battle and never lost a war shows up. He is greater. He is stronger. Everything, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. If we will not turn from the mercy provided us at Calvary, if we will turn our eyes to him, if we will train ourselves to say, there is yet mercy for me. Do not laugh at me, my enemy. Do not be jubilant too soon. For I will go down on one knee and I will know the loving kindness of God, yet he shall still redeem this life. David continually sought the mercy of God. He needed the mercy of God, and so do we. If we were going to rank the kings in terms of their sin, all of us would be tempted to put David as the biggest sinner of the three. And yet how his life demonstrates, if we will stay under that incredible canopy of the mercy of God that endures, for he is good and his mercy endures forever for his church and for his people, we will so defeat the enemy when we will live in that position of mercy, keeping our eyes on Christ. He can break up the deepest depths, beloved. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop asking. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop seeking. Don't cover over things with fear. Don't not look. We can look. We can reckon. We can see, because that loving kindness and the loving favor of our God is able to cause us to look at any pain, any trial, any failure with new eyes. He is for us. David continually sought mercy, and when he sinned, beloved, he knew what to do about it. That was his secret of being a man after God's own heart. He never separated, squandered, or kept it such a light thing, the mercy that was his, because he was the Lord's. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. We can know we can know what it is to have the mountain shake and things be thrown in the sea. We know it, the fightings and the fears within, but God will be our help. God will come and be God to us in the person of Jesus Christ. His Spirit will fill us and allow us to take that step to the mirror, take the next step into faith, take the next step into calling down his glorious power. His blood covers, his blood cleanses, his blood gives us courage for the battle. Hallelujah. We have no reason to forsake our mercy. Let's not follow the pattern and the path of our enemy, the devil, who ultimately forsook his mercy, who dwelt in the courts of heaven and looked into the very face of God and saw the grandeur and the splendor and the infinite mercy and goodness of God, the holiness of God that set him apart from every created being. The enemy looked into the face of this perfection and turned away from it. Let us not follow in our enemy's footsteps, where we turn away from the perfection of his mercy, his love, his goodness, and his favor to us as his church. David continually sought mercy. And so, beloved, he had an unsilenced voice in his heart. He had an unsilenced voice. In other words, mercy could talk to him. Mercy could talk to him. And I want to say that I think that mercy is the way that it's like a bowling ball hitting the pins, is the way that mercy hits the feet and the ankles of the devil and takes them right out. He forsook his mercy. We don't have to. You know, I often tell the teaching staff at the school, I said, you know, some days, for a season at this school, it seems like every day we fight for the same ground in our mind. Every day it seems like the same battle for the ground in our mind. And I want to say something. And I said to them, I want to tell you, I feel that's because we're doing something right. I feel like some days, some battles are every day because our enemy is threatened, because we're on the right track, because we are opposed, because our heart wants to do it his way. We know we have much to learn, but we know how suffering, long suffering, he is with us. And beloved, sometimes the ground, this ground to think right and to hold the truth of God higher than what any voice says to us and to persevere in the mercy of God, knowing his loving favor and his loving kindness is upon those whom we will make the Lord our refuge and our strength, who believe he will be a very, very present help in time of trouble. We do not have to give up the ground. We will have to fight, but we don't have to give up the ground. We live in the mercy of the cross, and we are never, ever afraid of truth because of it. Ever. And the mountains and the fear and the unbelief can be cast into the sea. And the scripture says that the Lord of hosts is with us. The captain of an undefeated army has arrived, and he will win the day yet. And beloved, when we are delivered through the mercy of God, our love for him and our attachment to him only grows deeper. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, Jacob is a picture to me of the son, the second son. Jacob is a picture to me. If he's not his natural father's favorite. That was Esau. Esau was the firstborn, and it should have all flowed to him. Esau was his father, natural father's favorite. Everything should have, all the inheritance should have flowed to Esau, but it didn't. There was something in Jacob, the secondborn, the overlooked, the not cherished in the sense that is who God loves to work with. And beloved, so many times when the enemy hammers us and tries to say, who do you think you are? You're going to live for God out there? You're going to live as a city set on a hill in New York City? You're going to let me go deep and purge your deepest fears and your deepest insecurities? You think, sorry, that's what he tries to say, that God's going to, you know, doubt whether we will do that. And beloved, the enemy, he is such a talker. He's such a liar and he's such a talker. But I want you to know something. We are the Lord's sheep. And his sheep hear his voice. And we're going to say, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. We don't have to give up that ground. Why would we give up that ground? Why would we give up the ground of mercy? Why would we not say, devil, goodness and mercy are following me right now, so you can take 10 steps back. Hallelujah. Therefore, will not we fear? Therefore, we will not fear, if we don't use King James English. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the mountains be removed, though the earth be removed, the mountains carried into the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, oh God, I thank you, let it all happen. But you love me, and your mercy is with me, and your mercy is going to break up the depths. I will be still. And I will know that you are God. And I will see you exalted. I will see you exalted in the heathen. And I will see you exalted in this earth. Beloved, who has vision like that? Those that know the mercy of God to the depths. Hallelujah. How can we believe for others if we've not drank deeply of mercy? We will... At some point, they will disappoint us, disgust us. We won't even care. But when we've drank from that cistern, from that well of mercy, where we've got it not just once, not just twice, maybe 100 times a day if we look in the right direction. Where we just say, I thank you, Lord, all things are possible. All things are possible because, Lord, I'm beholding you in mercy. I'm beholding you through the mercy you continually offer me. I'm beholding you because your loving kindness and your loving favor is upon me. And there is nothing too difficult for you. I will not fear, oh God. And beloved, if we will just drink deeply from that well of mercy, if we will understand that many times you and I are in the right battle, at the right time, at the right place, and that we're fighting the good fight, that beloved, it's because of mercy. We're in the game because of mercy. We're still here because of mercy. We came to church because of mercy. We're praising God because of mercy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're seeing a choir on its feet singing like angels because of mercy. Mercy's going to keep them. Mercy's going to let God go as deep as he needs to go so he can take them as far as he needs to take them for his glory. And so shall it be for us. The enemy, you know, beloved, are people who know their God, know the depths of the mercy, the canopy of mercy. Our life is defined by mercy. Our life is rewrote by mercy, the mercy of God. Hallelujah. There is such altitude in mercy. We're going to fly high. Why? And beloved, when we bend our knee and say, I'm not going to squander it and I'm not going to forsake it. Why would I? Oh, God, give us eyes to see that God will be our refuge when we need to understand mercy. He'll be our strength when we need to draw from his mercy. He will be our present help when it's mercy we need to take another step, and courage will be given us, beloved. We will not fear. We will not fear. Mercy is going to take the legs out of fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Just one simple thought may be said 80 times the same way. But I just feel like today the Lord is saying, will you believe me on this? Will you believe? Will you look up and see my loving favor and my loving kindness on you? And will you receive it? Will you walk every day with it? And then will you let it take the legs out of the fear that wants us to limit God? And through it, limiting what he can do through us. And I just feel there's a group of people today that just want to come forward and make a declaration and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I refuse to limit God through my fear and my unbelief. And Lord, I'm trusting you as never before. And it's going to be easy because I'm looking to you as a merciful Savior, as a merciful God. You just want to step out and say, Lord, I'm living my life with... making this a reality to me, that your mercy, Lord, and your the courage, and I can stand, and I will be everything that you're asking me to be. I will not be bowed by unbelief because mercy has come. And I'm going to understand the deep things. And I thank you. I will not fear. No matter what the days bring, I will not fear. I know whom I serve. You just come ahead now. Just step out. You need to make that declaration. Some have just looked at themselves. Some have just, it's been a struggle and a battle to believe God when he's spoken to you, when your heart's been stirred by something he's saying to you. And you just say, Lord, I'm unlimiting you today. I'm unlimiting. You can do whatever you want. And I thank you, Lord. I've got a new trust because it's your mercy, oh God, that's going to cause me to stand. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to willingly drink of those things. You understand my fear, and you understand my reluctance, my stubbornness. You understand it all, but there's mercy for me. And I thank you. I will not fear no matter what the day bring. You just come ahead, and as the musicians play, just come ahead now. Make that declaration of what the Lord is speaking to you. Hallelujah. 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 God of mercy, thank you for loving us so deeply. Thank you, Lord, we walk forgiven and cleansed, accepted and loved. That's what mercy does. And thank you, Lord, you will be a refuge from the lies, and you will be our strength for the battle. You, Lord, will teach us not to fear, no matter what the day will bring. Lord, we will not limit you, but Lord, you are able to do whatsoever you want to do through our lives. And Lord, when we doubt you and when we fear, I thank you our recourse is mercy. I thank you we will look to you and live. You will be a refuge, Lord, when the enemy condemns, and you will be our strength, Lord, when we are tired and want to give up. You will be our help, a very, very present today help in time of trouble. And we will see you exalted, Lord, in our lifetime. We will see you exalted in our families. We will see you exalted in this city. You are not a man that you will lie. You are cutting out the fear that unbelief, Lord, brings, oh God. And I thank you, you will go to the very depths, and we will welcome what the work you will do in us, because we do not fear, Lord, what you do. You only bring healing and restoration. You bring strength and wholeness. You bring separation into our lives. Oh God, we just open our arms and say, do whatever you want to do, for you are awesome, and you only deal with us in mercy, in loving kindness and loving favor, when we will not squander our mercy. Tremble, enemy, because the legs of fear are being taken out from under your lies, oh God. And I thank you, mercy is the antidote to fear, and we will walk with mercy and the goodness of God all the days of our life, and he will do what only he can do. And so let whatever has to happen, happen. We shall not fear. We shall not fear, for you are good, and your mercy over us, in us, and through us endures forever. We believe, Lord, we are being restored, and we should be a people set apart, marked by the loving favor and the loving kindness of our God, and we will not fear. That is a miracle. And I thank you, Lord, to be able to live this life so as that we can communicate and lift up Jesus to others, that they too may enter in to this life, Lord, promised only through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We be still now, Lord, for mercy brings that peace. We live in mercy. We live under mercy. We live because of mercy. I thank you, Lord. Be our refuge and strength all the days of our life. We say thank you. And we love you. And Lord, I just pray for those, Lord, that are believing you to break the bonds of fear. I thank you, Holy Spirit, come upon them. Cause them to understand, Lord, your goodness. We don't have to be afraid. I thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do now. I thank you for the courage now to believe you. You're worthy of it. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen.